Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Joined now by Riley Gates. He's the lead staff writer for GoPowerCat.com, certainly a local product, and certainly Dusty's known him since the very beginning of time for Riley, and all of us know Riley pretty well. And last time we had Riley on, we had all kinds of controversy about him working at the golf course, and him and Sam were trying to beat us and stump the Waterside Wake-Up guys. And now we fast forward, I don't know, 3-4 years later, and Riley is working hard for GoPowerCat.com, and you got an internship at WHB in Kansas City, right, Riley?
Yeah, that's true. Hey, let's just clarify one thing.
Here we go.
I wasn't on the, that was not me on the show. Sam was the contestant.
Right.
I was simply there.
Yeah.
We don't need to get into the details of what took place, but I was not on the show.
You're right. I was thinking more of when you guys brought your peace offering, which was the cake or whatever from
cake.
Yes, and you came in the studio, and I believe we had you guys on the air. You might have been in the background, you know, so forth and so on. So that's what I was thinking of, was you guys' peace offering, you know.
Fair enough.
Okay, I got you. All right, well, let's talk about what's going on now, and let's start with the big story, and you can fill everybody in. I know you've been following this, and that is Corey Sutton wanting to leave the K-State football program, freshman wide receiver who did play last year, 11 games, 4 catches, 54 yards. Why don't you give us some background on the situation as to, one, let's just start from the beginning. Corey Sutton wants to transfer and take it from there.
Yeah. Early May, Corey Sutton announced that he wanted to leave the program. Didn't really say why at the time. He just kind of figured it was just another player leaving. And so I'm told that, you know, Corey told me that he went to Bill Snyder and said, you know, I want to leave. He said, I want to be closer to family. He's got 3 little siblings back in North Carolina that he wants to be with. And he doesn't feel like he got used properly because he wanted to redshirt last season, and the coaches said, you're too valuable to redshirt. And then they only threw him 4 passes last year. So he didn't feel properly used. So we went to him and said, I'm going to transfer. And coach said, well, I would like you to stay, but I can't force you to stay. So Corey went through NCAA compliance stuff to file all the proper paperwork and everything. And that's when Bill Snyder said to him, you know what, you signed a 4-year commitment to me, and you're going to honor that commitment. And so Corey went through an appeals process, and that's kind of where we're at now. The thing with Corey is that he made it a public stink on Wednesday. He went to Twitter, had some tweets to try to bring light to the situation, because he said he felt that the only way that this situation could maybe get resolved down the road or at any point in time was if he made a big deal about it and media picked it up and went with it.
Yeah, he used the term slave master, and that's not going to help your cause in the public eye. And that's a young guy making a mistake. I think I understand what he was probably trying to do, just didn't do it in the right way. And so people are going to hold that against him, and certainly people there on the Bill Snyder side of the situation. Now Corey Sutton, he put together a list of schools, right, that he would have liked to have gone to. And from what I understand, none of them were on the K-State schedule in the upcoming years, and none of them were Big 12 schools, of course. So he had a list of schools that he liked to go to, and that still didn't matter, right?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said he had 35 schools. Like you said, none of them were Big 12, and none of them were on future schedules. He said at the time that some were Division II schools, but Dennis Dodd of CBS this morning is saying a source is telling him that Corey Sutton did not have any Division II schools on the list. So we're still trying to figure that out, where the truth is on that, because, you know, obviously someone is incorrect in saying that there was or wasn't a Division II school or two on that list. But, yeah, there's a list of schools he listed. You know, he told me the main thing he wants to do, he just wants to go home and be able to come back and see his family more often than he can here in Kansas. And, Bill Snyder blocked every single one of them. It's always been his policy, he said, to block transfers. But, personally, I mean, when you look at the history, that's not exactly – you know, that doesn't exactly line up with history. I mean, you have Bryce Brown that got a transfer just last year. Caleb Pruitt got a transfer. Daniel Sands transferred. So there's something more to this story, I think, and that's what we're trying to figure out right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors out there, and you got to be careful with rumors and speculation, and certainly in your profession and ours as well. Like sports talk, you can speculate more, but if you're writing for an institution as you do, you have to make sure that you get it right. And there's two sides to every story, as we know. And like you said, there's more to this story, I'm sure. Bill Snyder did come out and talk about this yesterday. I know he was on Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I know he saw some things on Twitter where he talked to some local TV stations as well. What's Coach Snyder's angle, and can you kind of summarize what he said yesterday?
Yeah, when he came on with Kevin Keatson on 810, he told him that, basically, this has always been my I've been here 25 years. This has been my policy from day one, is that I don't release players, and, that he can transfer to whoever he wants to. He'll just have to lose the year of academic financial assistance with school. So that's what he said on 810. And then when he was at the Catbacker event last night in Overland Park, he was asked about it, and it's a bit of an interesting answer because he kind of elaborated again on that, how he's been here for so long and Corey Sutton had only been here for about 15 months. And then he alluded to failing drug tests. He said, we have a player that's failed two drug tests, which he never identified completely as Corey Sutton, but a lot of people are speculating it is. And I know that Corey Sutton wasn't very happy about that. Mm-hmm. Now, we're trying to figure out because, there's some talk out there that it could be somebody else, or maybe he was referencing somebody else and wasn't necessarily referencing Corey Sutton. And so no matter what, you can't say it. If that's true, you can't obviously tell people that someone has failed a drug test. That's right. Against the law. But the thing here is that it's coming back to what is the reason for him saying that? Is he saying it to get back at Corey Sutton for doing this, or there's been some talk about it maybe being a stab at John Curry, because it's kind of known that John Curry had a three-strike policy, three strikes and then you're out. And so, did John Curry tell Bill Snyder, you have to keep Corey Sutton here for two, he's failed it twice, but you still have to keep him here because he hasn't done it three times. So now that John Curry's gone, Bill Snyder's not going to release Corey Sutton because it's kind of, in his hands now, I guess I'm trying to say.
Riley Gates, he's a lead staff writer for GoPowerCat.com. He's our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Well, here's what I'm trying to sort out, and I'm sure you're probably thinking some of the same things here, and that is, if Corey Sutton doesn't want to be at Kansas State, and granted, what you said earlier, what Coach Snyder said, certainly he can go to another institution. He just will not have the scholarship at another institution, at least for 1 year, which we don't know the financial situation for Corey Sutton and his family and how big of an issue that might be. But he could certainly get a scholarship 2 years from now. He could go to another institution, pay for his schooling, and then if he's good enough, could get another scholarship and be with another school. So when people say that they're holding him hostage, technically that's a bit of an exaggeration, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's an exaggeration to an extent. Corey Sutton can't afford, he said he can't afford to pay for school somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's obviously the case with a lot of student-athletes around. So, no, they're not necessarily, holding him captive or anything like that. That is an exaggeration. But at the same time, until we figure out for sure what the reasoning is for him not being released, because, I know Bill Snyder doesn't want to. There's a lot of players that would like to leave K-State because, it gets very, tough. They didn't realize how tough it was going to be for Bill Snyder. So, a lot of players want to go somewhere else, and you don't want to let every single one out because then you'll be losing everybody. But at the same time, it's a PR disaster for K-State right now.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Bill Snyder's looking horrible. Mm-hmm. The program, I don't even know how this, I guess I don't know how this affects recruiting right now, but I can't imagine it's good. So, if there's absolutely no, big reason for this, I have no idea why Bill Snyder won't let the kid go. Because all that's doing right now is making you look worse, unless you're going to come out and say, this is why we're not releasing him, other than this is our policy. Because that's just not, that's just not right, in my opinion.
Well, and I get this, too, is that... And I see both sides of it to an extent. Bill Snyder's in a situation where he probably knows when he's going to step away or have an idea. And he's like, listen, I'm going to do this my way. This is the way I want to handle it. But if he cares about the future of Kansas State, and as you mentioned, there could be some issues with recruiting because of this story, that will impact Kansas State University in a football program maybe for the next few years, regardless of how long he stays on as a head coach. The thing I'm trying to figure out is, and you remember the Letty Romero situation at Kansas State when it was a basketball team. It got so far down the road, and I know I was one of the vocal person along with many other people saying, just, you know, even if you're in the right, even if you believe you're in the right, if Deb Patterson felt she was in the right at the time, or Bill Snyder feels he's in the right here, is it really worth the collateral damage, as you just referred to, and the PR hit to your program? And then there, it's a national story now. I mean, you got people like Jay Billis and others chiming in, which, of course, they don't have all the details, and it's easy for them to chime in on one side or the other and not get both sides of the story. But is it really worth it? Is Corey Sutton, and no offense to Corey Sutton, is Corey Sutton worth this much to Kansas State? And if, I stress if, there was something with drug tests or not, why would you want him to stay with your program if he had done those things?
That's the thing I can't figure out. I mean, Corey Sutton is incredibly talented, and I agree with him that, you know, he should have been used a lot more in this offense last year, because I think he's probably a top four receiver on this roster, in my opinion. But at this time, if there is that drug problem there, if he doesn't want to be here, he's not going to give you that maximum effort that Bill Snyder probably requires more than any coach in the country. You know, Nick Saban maybe, but you know, everybody knows how rigorous Bill Snyder is, and how if you make one little mistake, you probably fall into the doghouse. Why would you want somebody that isn't going to want to play for you, and you can't be guaranteed that they're going to give it their max effort? It's kind of pointless, in my opinion. If somebody doesn't want to be with you, don't make them stay, because you're not going to get what you actually want out of them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't think it is worth the hit they're taking PR.
This might be a weird angle, but I just thought of this. What if there are other players? I don't know if there's a significant amount of players. There's probably more than just one player at Kansas State on the football team, and probably everywhere at every program across America that, you know, goes and, oh, wow, it's a lot tougher than I thought, or I was promised a chance to play here or there, and I didn't get the job done, whether they feel the coaches slighted them or whether they just simply didn't work hard enough. What if there are some other players in the program that Bill Snyder and the staff know are contemplating or thinking about transferring, and this is a way for Bill Snyder to send a message that, okay, Corey Sutton might eventually be granted his release and go somewhere else, but that would maybe help detour other players from thinking about transferring, because do you really want to go through this? Does that make any kind of sense where I'm going with that?
No, I see the point there, and you know, I think it is a big reason why I think he's wanting to show other players, like, hey, you don't get to tell me this is my program. Yes. I'm going to decide what happens. But at the same time, it's funny you bring that up, because, you know, Corey told me, he said there's been, in his time, you know, he was a true freshman last year, so he's been here a really short time. He said in his time there, he knows of two players that intentionally got kicked off of the team, did something to get kicked off the team, so that way they could be released from their scholarship, because they knew they wouldn't be released by asking for it. So, and he said that's a big reason why he tweeted what he was tweeting. He's trying to make the coaching staff get to the point where they said, you know, wash our hands of this. We don't want this on us anymore. So it's kind of going in a circle. Like, Corey Sutton saying people are trying to get kicked off the team so they can be released from their scholarship, and Bill Snyder's trying to say, I'm not going to let you, you know, you committed to me, I'm not going to let you boss me around. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but I do think that what you're saying has some merit to it. I think that is kind of what he's trying to do here.
Riley Gates, the lead staff writer, GoPowerCat.com, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. All right, so how do you think this ultimately ends? Is it going to be kind of like the Letty Romero situation? Eventually, K-State's going to grant a release from the scholarship, and then they can move on? Or do you think K-State's going to really drag this out for a while?
I mean, I think my gut says they're going to release him. I don't know why they wouldn't, but and that's what I'm going to go with. I do think he'll eventually be released. It'll get really ugly. This is not, I mean, people that thought the Letty Romero situation got pretty ugly, but this is going to get even worse, I think.
Yes.
I mean, this is getting national. With Bill Snyder talking about the drug testing, I don't know if that goes legal or not. But Bill Snyder seems really dug in the sand on this one. I mean, he did not sound like he was even contemplating changing his mind on this one yesterday. But I just don't see how he gets to the point where he doesn't just say, this is a big distraction, I don't need this in my program anymore, just go and be done with it. So, I mean, I would imagine he eventually releases him, but I don't know how long that might be. And, you know, maybe Corey Sutton just finally says, the heck with it, I'll take a year off from football and I'll try to play for somebody after a year. I don't know.
Yeah, it might be a battle of wills as to who's going to blink first. You might be very
well
right on that. Okay, let's shift gears to the new athletic director. You've had a chance to meet him, and it was a surprise to many folks. There were different names that were on the radar, but then, boom, Gene Taylor is a new AD at Kansas State. What can you tell us about him, and do you think, and I know it's really, really early, but do you think this was a good hire for K-State?
I mean, as of right now, I have no reason to decide or to say that he's not a good hire. I think that they did something that – John Curry was really good at, you know, we all know this. He's good at raising money. He's good at building buildings, et cetera, et cetera. But every time that I spoke to John Curry, it kind of felt like I really wasn't speaking to a genuine person, and I don't mean that as a slight. It just didn't feel like he was being completely honest with me when I said stuff to him. I talked to Gene Taylor, and I feel like I'm just having a conversation with another guy. So I think that K-State did something right there in the fact that they went out to find somebody who's actually going to work with the coaching staff, who's going to build relationships and not try to throw their coaches under the bus. The rough thing for Gene Taylor is that he inherited a lot. I mean, obviously he's inherited buildings with facilities and whatnot, but, I mean, in the next probably 2 years, he'll probably have to make the two biggest coaching, you know, maybe in 1 year he'll have to make the new coaching hire for football. I think he'll have to make a basketball decision soon too, so he's not going to have a lot of time to really build a relationship with K-State fans before he's judged on his hire, which is kind of unfortunate for him. But as of now, I do think that he's the right guy because, you know, at K-State, like I said, you need that personal relationship with coaches, and you need to feel that connection and not be against your AD, which I think a lot of people were against John Curry for coaches at K-State.
Do you believe, because Bill Snyder keeps talking about there's a plan in place for everything, do you, this can be a complicated question because it's just strictly opinion and based on what you know and the knowledge that you have, but do you think that Gene Taylor will have the authority of a normal athletic director to make the hire in replacing Bill Snyder when Bill Snyder decides to step down? And I say this because I look at the AD search and there was, you know, there were the regular names we kept hearing over and over and over. And it really was out of left field. It was a curveball. And we got a different AD with an outside view of the program, which I think could be really healthy and good for Kansas State University. And I'm wondering, we get so fixated on Jim Leavitt and Sean Snyder, but I'm wondering, and we don't know when Bill's going to step down. It could be this year, could be middle of this year, could be 5 years from now. But something tells me, and maybe I'm reading too much into the AD hire and I should keep it separate, that eventually K-State, we know Bill Snyder kind of who he wants, I think, but that Gene Taylor, that's part of his legacy. If he comes in here at Kansas State and he goes with what Bill Snyder wants, Bill Snyder is no longer employed by the university or no longer the head coach. So if it doesn't work out, yeah, it doesn't look great for Bill Snyder, but he still did what he did. He's a K-Stater. Whereas Gene Taylor, if he makes the next head coaching change and he goes with what Coach Snyder does and it doesn't work out, doesn't that fall a lot more on him as the athletic director?
It's going to fall on him in the public light because it'll always be known as the, you know, Gene Taylor hired him because he's the athletic director. But, and whereas I believe that Gene Taylor, A, is capable of making a hire on his own, and B, I would feel comfortable with him doing it. At the same time, you know, if Gene Taylor's here for 1 month, if he's here for 10 years before he has to make that decision, it doesn't matter, in my opinion, because you don't have to do exactly what Bill Snyder says, but you have to take that opinion into consideration. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that Bill Snyder says you have to hire Jim Leavitt and then he goes and hires Jim Leavitt. I think that would be good. I think it would be a good fit, but I think that Gene Taylor needs to know this is the program that Bill Snyder built, and when you're choosing someone to follow Bill Snyder, you need to be very careful with that, and you need somebody that Bill Snyder has an all right, you know, he gives the green light on, and you can't just go hire someone on the left field and hope it works out. Otherwise, I mean, that's going to tarnish your legacy as an athletic director. So it's a tough position to be in because you want to do your job, but at the same time, you want to take in the opinion of the man that has a statue on the front side of the stadium.
Yeah, I think it's a I think it's a tough spot for the new AD, and for him to take the job, I think that means he believes he's up to it. He knows that's going to be one of the biggest decisions he's going to make and how he's going to be judged at Kansas State University, which to me, as a K-Stater, I'd be pretty happy about that because that means that he's confident in his abilities to come into a situation like that because it is about as clear as mud when it comes to these things and trying to find a new coach for a coach that hasn't even announced he's stepping down yet. We don't even know the timeline. That's the other thing. And I don't know. I just look at this and do you think it has to be, do you think it has to be, or it will be the successor of Bill Snyder will have K-State ties? And I don't mean that it's Sean Snyder. It could be Jim Leavitt. But do you think that one of the prerequisites of the new coach at K-State when Bill Snyder steps down, that they have to have a connection to K-State? Because Gene Taylor had no connection to K-State as far as I'm aware of, and he's the new athletic director.
I don't know as if that they're going to say they have to, but I feel like they'll strongly encourage it.
Yeah.
And this is not really fair to any coach out there that doesn't have a K-State tie, but you went off the tree the first time and you got Ron Prince, and that set you back a long way. So your track record with going outside of K-State's tree isn't good. I mean, at some point you have to leave the K-State tree. You can't just keep hiring. And I'm a huge fan of hiring outside of the K-State tree, to be honest. I hate when people say that you have to hire someone in this K-State group.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, with the candidates out there, with everybody that knows how this program was built, I think that you just need the successor to have some sort of tie to Bill Snyder.
Riley Gates, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Let's turn our attention real quickly to men's basketball. How have things gone for Bruce Weber in regards to the recruiting trail, and how good do you think this team possibly could be?
Well, when you're in recruiting trail, you mean the 2017 or the 2018?
Let's talk about both. Let's start with 17 and who's coming in, and then you can talk about whether or not he's had success going into 18, because he is in a situation where a lot of people continue to look at Bruce Weber as a lame duck coach.
Mm-hmm. Well, the 2017 class, you know, they got the three initial high school guys, Levi Stockard, Nigel Shad, and Mike McGurl, who are arriving on campus here shortly. And then they picked up two late signees in Ish Wainwright's brother, Ahmad, and McCole Maywain out of a junior college in New Mexico. Honestly, and this is not what K-State fans want to hear, I don't see a whole lot of promise out of these incoming players. I think that Levi Stockard, he's kind of a big guy out of Missouri. I think he's going to be all right and has potential to grow into something. And I think that Wainwright can be an all right wing player, but you know, you're losing Wesley Wundu, who, you know, was your everything pretty much. I mean, he played the point guard, and he really wasn't a point guard, but he would take over at times because the K-State just couldn't handle the ball and they would turn it over all the time. And so when you're losing players like DJ Johnson and Wesley Wundu and you're not really adding a whole lot, I'm not really exactly feeling very optimistic this coming into the season. Like, that's just me being honest. I don't feel like they added enough talent to really improve, and I feel like at times that they kind of, I don't want to say lucked out, but I feel like they kind of got some game. I mean, winning at Baylor, they shouldn't have won that game, but they did. I mean, they played well. This just isn't a team that can always piece it together for an entire season, and until they prove me otherwise, I don't really exactly feel very optimistic about the 2017-18 season.
I agree with you. I've been thinking the exact same thing. And for some K-State fans out there that want Bruce Weber to be gone, they actually are okay with what you said, because that would speed up the process for a new head coach at Kansas State University on the men's basketball program. All right, Riley, I'm going to do something different with you as our guest today that I've not done with anybody else on this show. Usually I do an off-the-wall question, as you're probably familiar with. I've also, a good buddy of mine, Seren Petro at 810WHB in Kansas City, he stole this idea of the Final Four years ago when he told me I have permission to steal it, which is sweet. I stole it from somebody else, and you can steal it from me. Makes total sense. So what I'm going to do with you here is off-the-wall Final Four, but I'm going to add in a bonus question, all right? So you ready?
All right.
All I need you, I don't even need an explanation unless you really need to go there. I just want you to choose one or the other, all right? You ready?
Okay.
And there's no wrong or right answers here. This is totally opinion. Nobody's going to hold it against you. Well, at least I won't, but maybe somebody listening will. Okay.
Got it.
Ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
LeBron or Michael? Greatest of all time.
Michael.
Ooh, wow. Okay. All right. Fox or ESPN? Inside joke.
Fox.
All right. That one didn't surprise me. chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Oh, chocolate. That's easy.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm with you on that one. Harder job, your time at the golf course or sports journalism?
Well, I mean, that harder job. I'll go sports journalism just because I've had to learn a lot of things in my time, and there's been some roadblocks along the way. So I'll go with that.
Okay, good answer. And your bonus question for you today, and if your family is listening, they might be really listening once I throw this question out there. Do you believe you have met the future Mrs. Gates yet?
That's where we're going to go with that, huh?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
She might not know it yet, but you know it, right?
That's a loaded question, Wade. You're going to get me in trouble with that.
Ooh, is there a secret here that I'm... Am I? Oh, this could be good. There might be some secret girlfriend or something, no?
No. Okay. I'm just saying if I say yes to that...
Yeah.
Then people start asking.
There is a follow-up question. You're right. If you say yes, there will be a follow-up. Good job, Chad. That's true. That will be a follow-up.
Yeah. And then if I say no, people kind of think I'm lame because I haven't met him yet. So how about we say, like, it's a possibility? Because I feel comfortable saying it's a possibility, but I don't feel comfortable saying yes.
Well, if you said yes, you would have your entire family grilling you with questions about the person, I would imagine,
exactly.
Too. So that's probably the way to go. That makes sense. Hey, man, we appreciate the time today, and continued best of luck in your career. And you're off to a great start. And let everybody know how they can read your work, all right?
All right. Yeah, you can you can go to gopowercat.com. Doing a lot of writing over there. And, I always put out my work on Twitter, at Riley_Gates. So, that's where you can find anything I do. It's always going to be there. So.
Well, I asked Dusty if he had anything to say to you, and he said, I'm too busy to talk to Riley. So I said, okay, whatever, okay.
That doesn't shock me.
I'm kidding. He is working away pretty hard up front. So thanks for the time, Riley. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you again down the line, buddy.
I appreciate it, Wade.
Take care. That's Riley Gates, lead staff writer at GoPowerCat.com.